Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of God, God is not limited. He can give his wonderful words of life to receptive people who love and receive him. And through them, through their faith, he can operate in the earth legally. God needs people. He does all his miracles through us, through people that love him. And I thank the Lord and cherish every word he speaks. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, it gives us life. Or it helps us to live within the guidelines of life. The Lord will not guide you wrong. The Lord will not damage your life. He will not hurt your life. And if we trust and follow him, if you follow him, if you can obey him, he will leave no joy out of your life. Over time, you can receive all the wonderful things that pertain to life and godliness. But it's not the work that you do. Things that amaze men are good. Men can be amazed with the wonderful works of God, but never forget to enjoy his presence. It's not what you do. It's not how many people you win. It's not all the wonderful things you do for God and others. But it's life, it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Enjoying your fellowship with him makes the difference. And I thank the Lord for that. And because we have a relationship with the Lord, see, the Lord is already in motion building things the way it should be built. But men don't always understand what God is doing until they learn and receive the knowledge of God. But God is still moving by his Spirit. So we can join in and move with him. And his methods are different than ours sometimes. Because we come out of darkness and we're entering in the light. And we're learning the light of God's word. We're learning life itself. We're learning to grow and develop. So the more we trust God, the more capable we are of doing the things of God. In St. John 15, Jesus said, everyone that bears fruit in him, he purges them so that they can bear more fruit. In other words, by us receiving his word, and we're supposed to receive our daily bread, the Lord is supposed to be able to teach us something every day. You know, Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, he said, give us this day our daily bread. He's not just talking about food. Instructions for life, his word. And now, sometimes people put the word of God in the wrong frame. They go to church, they hear hard preaching against sin. God is more than that, folks. He's more than just a hard message against sin. All right, let's talk about the people who have repented. They turn their back on their sins, and they're looking to the Lord now, and they're learning his counsel. All right. There are moods of the Holy Spirit. To people that trust sin, they may hear a hard message against sin like I do sometimes. But that's not the in my own when I go in the Lord's presence, we talk about many things. And most of the dialogue the Lord is teaching me as a father would teach his son, as a mother would teach her child, as a friend would talk to his friend. And I asked the Lord all my questions, and he talked to me like a friend would talk to his friend, like a savior would talk to his people. God loves us. I don't want people to miss out on God's best, putting God in a religious box. You know, if you listen to the Sunday school broadcast that we do on the newlivingletters.com website, a lot of my dialoguing with the Lord is a lot like the Sunday school classes, people talking about the goodness of God. And I ask him questions and he answered me. Now, I'm not interested in doing some secret sin somewhere. So in my relationship with the Lord, he talks to me about winning souls, about how men think. He helped me solve problems in my job. He teach me things about life, things about people, things about his word, what he's doing in the world. That's why I always say he's mightily moving by his spirit. He has a plan. He talked to me about some things that he's planning to do, things that he's doing. It's more than just hard preaching. And I don't want to come across one lopsided. God loves us in every way. And he'll give you wisdom for every category of your life. And he will talk to you as a friend, even as a professor, as a teacher, as a counselor. But somebody that loves you. You know, when I was a child, I used to love to go and sit down on the floor near my grandmother. And she would talk and just listen to whatever she had to say. And that's how the Holy Spirit does. You know, in the family unit, most of the time men are out working and the wives are at home teaching the children things. You know, my parents, they worked and they get off work. My mother was busy fixing dinner and my daddy was, he got off work. He's tired. He's trying to get ready for the next day. But my grandmother was retired and she was a retired teacher. So I wanted to know things. So I would ask all the grown people things I wanted to know. And she would teach me things and talk to me. And she used to smoke a pipe. And I don't agree with smoking, but that's what they did. Hey, but she would smoke a pipe and teach me things that I needed to know. She was a godly woman, but that's what she did. So anyway, so I liked it. I enjoyed talking to her. So I would say, Grandma, when you gonna smoke? Because that's when she would talk to me, when she would sit down and smoke a pipe. And she said, that boy asked me, when am I gonna smoke? And what I wanted was, I wanted to listen to her tell me the things that she was telling me and why she smoked a pipe. So that's when I saw her smoking a pipe, I'd ask her, that's how it was. That's what really happened. And the Holy Spirit, when he talked to me, it reminded me of the counsel I would get from my grandmother. The wisdom of God is for us. God loves us and he won't leave any joy out of our lives. God is good to know, folks. But cold religion tries to hide God. Now, I'm not talking about good, hard preaching. That's of God. I'm not talking against preachers that preach the word. That is of God. I'm talking about those who compromise. People who alter his word in meaning. That's cold religion. They act. Anybody that side with the Pharisees on things, Jesus went about doing good, healing people, instructing people, teaching people the truth of God's word, just like the Holy Spirit does to us now. But the Pharisees had a problem with him. They hated him. They wanted him dead. They wanted the life of God dead. They wanted the fire of God extinguished. And that's what I'm talking about when I say cold religion. I'm not talking against any denomination. I'm not talking against any certain preacher. I'm talking about people who side with Satan in their speech, in their thoughts, and in their message. Because God is too good to be misrepresented. God is too good to be misrepresented. Now, the Lord has so much to say, and I feel like even the greatest miracles that are done in our time and every great move of God, I feel like we're just scratching the surface compared to what we really can be doing. Because we're not limited in him. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're not limited. Your problems may look big to you right now, but keep on at it. Measure God's word as big as you can. Believe God and take your territory back. Take your life back. Take your health back. Take your children's health back. Don't let the devil steal from you, folks. Don't let him do it. Stand on the word of God. Keep your promises. I mean, receive the promises that if God gave you something in the word, put a demand on it by your faith and speak it. Don't let cold religion water down the fire of God in you. Because you're going to learn something. You're going to learn how easily Satan is defeated. And you're going to find out what a big liar he is and what a great God we serve. Now, the Lord is good. Now, I said something last week. I want to give clarity to it. In the last broadcast, I made mention about how we can, our children, what we're doing now, what we're speaking, what we're acting on, what we practice in life, that's the blueprint of our children. That's also the blueprint of those who hear us in the Lord. Now, I got the correct scripture this week. The last broadcast, I said it was chapter 18 or 19. It's chapter 17, verse 1. Now, watch what the Lord said. Verse 1, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. And the Lord was talking to him about Isaac, his son that he would have with Sarah, his wife. But the first thing he said in verse 1 is, be perfect, because what you do and what you speak is the blueprint of your children. But I used the wrong scripture. In the wrong age, I said that Abraham was 98, but he was actually 99. So 9 months later, he would have been almost 100. Now, I want to give clarity to that. I make mistakes, but God don't. And I thank him for his word. His word is perfect. Now, as we follow God, we can learn all things and we can do whatever he say we can do. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com on the audio 3 page. If you hear something you need and you want to hear it again, greater clarity, you can share it with your friends. newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com, and all the broadcasts on the audio 3 pages. There are 3 audio pages, and also there's a living lesson page, and you can read the books that God has given and other writings. Now, there's a lot of good things on the website, newlivingletters.com, but the Lord wants, he's mightily moving by his spirit, and he's helping us out. He gives gifts to us all. And as we learn his ways, we can do whatever the words say we can do. We just got to learn to measure God's word in a greater way. Now, the way you measure it, it'll be measured back to you. But the way you measure is increasable. The way you measure God's word in your life, in your heart, it's increasable. But you got to start doing it. Don't look at failure. Don't look at the problem. Don't look at the circumstances and the challenges. Always look to the Lord. When you believe in God for something and there's a duration of time before it's finished, before your faith is finished, it will be finished. In the duration of time, enjoy the presence of the Lord. Enjoy his wisdom, enjoy his counsel, enjoy his presence. Work toward the goal. Keep speaking faith to it. When the Lord uses other people to confirm your faith, which he will do, let it fan the flames. Get excited about what God is doing and stick with it. Some things God can do rapidly to us, and some things there's a duration of time before your faith is finished. But whatever the case, enjoy God. And look to him. Don't look at the problem. Don't look at the challenge. Don't look at the duration. Enjoy your time with the Lord and stay in faith. It's got to happen. You put a demand on his promise, he's going to honor it. You put the demand on God's promise by your faith. It's got to happen. It's impossible for it not to. Take what's yours. Take your ground. When you watch a war movie, men risk their life to hold the bridge and not let the enemy cross the bridge or blow it up. Sometimes you're just going to have to stand your ground. But in the meantime, while you're holding, while you're standing your ground, while you're waiting on the Lord, be active doing the things of God. Be active serving other people. Be a blessing to people. While you're waiting on your change to come, while you're waiting on your faith to be finished, enjoy God's presence and be actively doing good things towards people. Because faith works by love, my friend. And never speak doubt, never speak curses, never complain. Complaining is acting like God forsook you and he didn't. Complaining is acting like you're on your own without him. So let complaining be a thing of the past. And don't let cold religion come and bully you out of your blessing. Quench all the fiery darts that the enemy shoot with the word of God. Refute him with the word of God. Say, no, devil, there's a promise, and I got it. And you may not know how to activate every promise, but that doesn't matter. God has a fail-safe in place. If you believe in God for healing, the Lord has elders. Get them to pray for you and stay in faith about what you believe God for and take your healing. If it's insight and knowledge and wisdom, James said God will give it to you liberally and won't upbraid you for it. First Peter said he'll multiply your wisdom. So while you're waiting on God to answer you, just study the Proverbs. You already want wisdom, study the Proverbs. And if you wonder why sometimes David said, why do the heathen prosper? Why do the wicked prosper? Read Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes is a book of wisdom, but see, Solomon wrote both books. He wrote the book of Proverbs while he was on God's side, endeavoring to live for God. Then he backslid. He went to idolatry. He went to idolatry. He lived under the curse of idolatry. And then he came back to the Lord, I believe. And then he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes about the condition of worldly living apart from God. That's why he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, all is not vanity. God is not vanity. The kingdom of God is not vain. But the world system is vain. Everything in the world system, you're disconnected from God. You're living in rebellion. You're living according to deception and the words of cold religion. In that world, everything's vain because you're not looking at God at all. You're looking at false gods. Everybody that's looking at false gods and the world system, and they trust the world system with their life. To them, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Even when they win in life, they're still captive by Satan. Even if they get rich, the devil will corral them and bully them into not enjoying the fruits of their labor. And when they're in their full sufficiency, they have problems. They look straight ahead and worry. They can't focus. They're worried about they're in fear. They're in different forms of fear. You can't live like that, man. You can't live like that. That ain't no way to live. But righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. With God, you don't need props and crutches. With God, you can have contentment. You got the joy of the Lord, and everything else is extra. And you're going to get it because you're going to get the things that God gave you. With God, you can get rid of a lazy mindset and become very, very industrious. And I'm not talking about over excessively busy. I'm saying, see, sometimes people think, when they think of the word industrious, they think of working from can't to can't. You get up when it's dark, you can't see, and you stop working when it's dark and you still can't see. That's can't to can't. Can't see in the morning, can't see at night. You done worked your whole day away laboring. That's not what I mean when I say industrious. But what I mean by industrious, you're operating according to the wisdom of God. You're living in the confines of God's word. You're safe. If you have a problem, you speak God's word and solve it. If Satan is a problem, you curse his works and not let him curse yours. You command him to stop and not let him defeat you. It's a blessing when you hear God out. And he'll show you the best way to do whatever it is you're trying to do. Now, I've done things the hard way for a very long time, and then the Lord will give me counsel, and I can do it a better way. And with God, you can stop working before the sun go down and enjoy a time with your family before the sun go down at the park. And still be industrious. And then the Lord will show you a better way to make more money. But those things come from conversations when you are at peace. In order to receive God's word, you have to be in peace. That's why I tell people all the time, enjoy God's presence. Don't let the words of this world infiltrate your heart and mind. Consider the problem solved. Consider yourself the victorious one. All that is a gift to you in the counsel of the wisdom of God. And while you're waiting, fill your heart with God's word. That makes it easier to receive what he's saying and make the best choice. You're only blessed when you make the best choices for your life. Your peace, your happiness won't last if you make poor choices. If you work too much, that's a poor choice. If you have to work a lot, that ought to be a season. That should be a time where you can come to a point where you don't have to work from cank to cank. If you run up a lot of bills and have a lot of debt, ask God for a plan to pay all your debts off and live a better life. Don't try to rescue yourself. If you're under the mindset of the world, you'll do it the world's way. Ask God for a new plan. And just see what he give you. And try it out. See what the old preacher talking about. God can give you a solution that you may not be able to think of on your own. That's why I love the wisdom and counsel of God. He'll show you a better road, but you got to receive it. And before you share it with somebody, make sure that they're not going to water it down and extinguish the flames of your burning desire to do better. Because people don't always see what you see. Most people are used to doing it their way, and they bully their way into things. And God can't work with that. He will not go across your will. He will not pass the boundary of your will and their will either. So when you do things that involve others, ask the Lord how to get other people on board. And when to talk about it. Get information from him and then share it as God give you wisdom. I thank the Lord for his wisdom. God thinks of everything. You know, and his wisdom runs so deep. Jesus died on a rugged cross to pay for all these sins. And now, I'm doing this broadcast. I'm at a park where there's a lot of dogwood trees. And I'm reminded of something my mother taught me a long time ago. And I believe she's right. She said the cross was made out of a dogwood tree. And every year around Easter, around Passover, because Easter's around Passover, the dogwood trees bloom. And the petals of their leaves have four red marks, just like when Jesus died on the cross. And she told me this when I was a child. She said, he died for us on the cross. And back then, the dogwood trees were huge. But now, the bulk of the tree, The heart of the tree, it'll never get big enough to make another cross to hang a man on. And I'm looking at dogwood trees, and the tallest tree is not sufficient to make a cross out of, because the branch start at about 4 to maybe 6 feet up. The tallest one I see is about 5 or 6 feet. And then it starts branching out. It's not big enough to make a cross anymore. And guess what? It's not necessary for our Savior to die for us again. But she said back in the days that Christ walked the earth, the dogwood trees were huge. But now after his death, burial, and resurrection, the dogwood trees don't grow tall anymore. And I bet if you research it, it's true. And then the petals, they bloom every Passover, every Easter. Because that tree said, I'll never be strong enough to crucify my Savior. And she taught me that. Now, I went on the side road, but I'm just reminded that I see so many beautiful dogwood trees at this park. But I thank the Lord for his wisdom. God thinks of everything. Every part of your life is precious to God. Every portion of your life is important to God. Your dreams and goals are very important. But I'm going to tell you a secret. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will be added to you. Start believing God for things you desire. Things that's important to you is very important to him. And keep God's kingdom first place. And you'll see God move in a new way. Sometimes people don't know what God can do because they don't take his word literal when they need to. And they don't take his promises literal as they could. But the Lord our God has so much to say. And there are so many blessings to be attained. But we can't attain them if we lean our own understanding or somebody else's understanding. When you're at peace, when you can be at peace and seek the Lord your God and King, you can learn from him. And he's not going to always talk to you like that, like hard preaching. If it's necessary, he will, but most of my time with the Lord is spent with me dialoguing with him. And if he wants to say something bold, he'll do it, and I welcome him. He knows how to speak to me so that I can get it. God is good, folks. He's too good to be misrepresented. So I'm not in strife with anybody, even people that misrepresent it. But I'm not going to sit on the sideline and ignore it. Wherever God is misrepresented, when I'm preaching, I'm going to say something. And people are just going to have to get on board with God's word. Everybody that will take God at his word and speak his word, they're going to find better. They're going to learn better from him. And I fully intend not to ever misrepresent God. And so to counter that problem, I study the word of God. I make it my business to learn his word, speak his word, and practice the things that I minister. See, when I learned how to defeat things, then I know how to talk about it. I know what God said to me to help me win. And now things that I'm learning now. I'm always asking him questions and I'm always trying to learn things. I want to know. I ask questions so I can learn. I can't teach myself what I don't know. And I can't depend on people that don't know to teach me things. But guess what? We're not alone. The Lord can help us learn. And he can help others learn. And there are anointed people around. So I ask my questions. And the Lord calls people to say the right thing at the right time, at the right place. And I get in on it. Sometimes I overhear what somebody else said. And then I listen and learn. Sometimes I learn things I didn't know. Now, I was watching James Robinson. I love to watch Life Today with James Robinson. And if you go on his website, just Google James Robinson. And there's a man that wrote a book about life after death experiences. And he'd been studying cases where people died at the, in the operating room, but they came back. And everybody would talk about that light at the end of the tunnel they would see. Now, most of the people who would talk about it, they went to heaven because they had believed on Jesus. Or there was a man that was an atheist and he died, but they were still working with him. And he was an atheist. He didn't go to church anymore, and the demons was trying to take him somewhere he didn't want to go. And he didn't know he thought that it was just people at first. He realized what had happened later, but he didn't want to go with them. And he remembered a song at a church when he went to Sunday school with a friend when he was a child. And he started singing that song about Jesus, and the Lord appeared to him. Now, he talked about this, and the Lord showed him some things, and the doctors worked with him and got him back, brought him back to life. And he was a doctor, I believe. But this man studied cases where people had died all over the world. And everybody who went to heaven, they never came back talking about the idolatry God that they served in their culture. They always talked about Jesus or how Jesus appeared to them.